Here's Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's up, CJ?
Not much. Just another day hunkering down, trying to avoid the weather. Pretend I'm anywhere else.
It's nasty outside again. I mean, we're just getting hit. We're getting hammered with the snow.
CJ, I got a question for you, bud.
Oh, no.
It's a question. I know you're a jogger, and 2022, I've gotten back on the horse. How do you get better, let's say, for beginners? Let's say for a big guy.
Oh.
Are you actually jogging?
Yeah, like I'm doing interval work in the underground garage right now because it's so cold out. So I'm doing like some 3-minute sprints, some 2-minute sprints, some 1-minute sprints. I'm just trying to get this body moving. But one day I want to just be able to jog 5K. That's it. That's my starting point. I want to be able to jog 5K. Thoughts about
that? Well, I'm certainly not qualified, but I would say the key is consistency. So I do it pretty much every day. And even if you have to walk, I would say just walk, and because eventually you'll get to a point where you can keep running it. So, you know, I think the hardest thing when you're starting is it's discouraging when you get out of breath easy or whatever, but you just got to keep doing it, and it does get easier.
Do you ever jog and like just a monster guy passes you jogging? Do you see that often or no?
Not too much, because I'm pretty alone out there these days. Like, I went this afternoon, and there wasn't a lot of other people sharing the road or the pathway. But definitely on the waterfront trails in Toronto. I mean, there's some speedy guys down there, and I'm certainly not fast.
So you're like one of those heroic runners that even when it's this cold and snowing, you're out there running?
Yeah, I haven't missed a day in about 630 days. So
wow. Is there a treadmill at where you live or anything? Or do you like running outside?
I think I'm annoyed by that. Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I think I'm bothered by that.
You're
I credit
allowed
you,
to be.
But. Okay.
I honestly, the last week, I've gotten more dirty looks from people than ever. Like, I can tell that there's so many people that don't even want to be in their cars looking at me like you're just getting in the way. Because, you know, not all the sidewalks are always plowed properly. And I mean, but yeah, there's no treadmill action for me. I prefer to go outside. I mean,
good for you.
That's awesome. In the world where I was traveling, which I just haven't been traveling much for my, you know, my other jobs, I would do a treadmill in a hotel or something. But I haven't been on the road in a little while.
That's outstanding. You know what I think a lot of the dirty looks are is New Year's resolutions that were blown up in smoke on like the third or fourth day of the year. And there you are out still grinding, and people know they're supposed to be, but they're not. But credit to you, man. And there you go. Oh, yeah. Take that advice. Give them your card. You guys can meet down at the waterfront.
Don't bring up the business card again. I swear to God.
I'm going to get that corroborated. I need to find one of those. I'm finding one. It's my life's mission to find one of your business cards.
We're calling Tux.
I'm going to text
Tux
and ask him if he has one. If he has one, I'm getting it from him. We were talking about Emily Castonguay being hired as an assistant GM out in Vancouver. First woman to be an assistant GM. There has not been one, obviously, to be a GM either. Kim Ng is a GM of the Miami Marlins in baseball. It is happening. The doors are opening, and women are, you know, they're walking through. What do you make of the significance of this, and what do you think it's going to mean for women in the sport of hockey?
Well, to me, it's very significant. And, you know, I saw Emily's availability with the reporters in Vancouver, and, I mean, man, was she well-spoken in terms of, you know, how she fits into the front office. You know, she's got law degrees and a lot of education, and then obviously the on-the-job experience as an NHLPA certified agent before this. And so she's going to have a significant role in her front office. And, you know, I look back at these last few years, and, you know, we have more and more women, you know, officiating games, you know, mostly at the AHL level. But you know, it's coming at the top level. There's more coaches starting to filter into the ranks. You know, obviously we're going to, you know, I think we'll see more and more people like Emily, like Rachel Dory, who also got hired last week by the Canucks, in an analytics role in front offices. And so I do think that it's going to happen pretty quickly here. And, you know, certainly Emily has all the qualifications, you know, far, far than based on her sex. You know, she said that Jim Rutherford never even, you know, basically address that with her. She doesn't feel as though she's been hired to kind of, you know, fill a box or meet some requirements. And so, yeah, I think a lot is changing pretty quickly. And I think this is just the beginning of, you know, getting, you know, a female in a position of as a general manager. And as I mentioned, I think coaching and officiating, all that's going to follow pretty soon after too.
with Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider. The Leafs and Sheldon Keefe decided to mix up the lines today, and I'm intrigued by this. In fact, I like it. I like the idea of going down this road. He's got Bunting with Matthews and Kasha, Mikheyev with Tavares and Marner, and on the third line, he's got Kerfoot with Kampf and Nylander. There it is up on TSN, too. In other words, he's got Matthews, Marner, and Nylander all on separate lines. What do you make of his reasoning, and how long do you think he might last with this?
It's unclear to me how long he'll go with it sort of in the short term, but you know what crossed my mind when I saw that he did this today at practice was, you know, last year when Marner and Matthews struggled in the playoffs, I mean, he stuck with that, right? He didn't go away from that at any point in that series. You know, I think obviously his bet was, you know, this worked all year. These guys are going to find it. I believe in my guys. But I just wonder if, you know, they're getting some different ideas of things they might do should, you know, things not be working at a key point in the season later on. And so I see it as sort of, you know, testing for what might be useful when they get in a playoff series in particular, where obviously the matchups come into more focus, where, you know, you might get to a point where Matthews and Marner in particular, if it doesn't go well for a couple games and we're all bringing that up and you know, getting back talking about the history that they've had in the postseason, you know, and I think it's giving the Leafs a little bit more of a look. And you know, honestly, the really good teams now have three solid lines that contribute. And the Leafs fancy themselves as one of the good teams. So I like it. It comes at a good time. You know, the Tavares unit has gotten stale here the last little bit. I think Matthews has actually played awesome. And so I do feel like you can almost play him with anyone, and that line's going to be productive. But, you know, finding a way to get Tavares going and getting Nylander back up to where he was, you know, a few weeks ago is a priority. And you know, when the Leafs have won as much as they have, I think that they have the benefit of being able to experiment a little bit because, you know, we've all said it 100 times, but they have to find a way to be at their best to have a chance to perform when the playoffs come, because that's how the season will be measured. And I see this kind of as the next extension towards that, is just giving themselves more options for, you know, whatever teams might throw at them down the stretch.
I agree. I think Mikheyev and Kasha deserve looks higher in the lineup just based on, you know, their ability to kind of settle in. My only, if I had to take one slight negative peek at this, is how does William Nylander view this? Because, you know, is that viewed as a demotion? Is that viewed as, hey, we're just going to spread the wealth? Like, you know, we can view it any which way we can, because we're breaking it down from the outside. How does the player who's having, you know, statistically a career year, correct? The point of game right now, 38 yeah. and 38, you know, view going, hey, great, I've got David Kampf and Kerfoot passing Kerfoot me the puck him. Now. You know what I mean? Like, that is that in a is that at all any concern? Would that be a concern? I'm asking all three of you guys.
That's what sticks out to me as well. That
wouldn't be too happy about it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, he's just having a career year, right? And it's well, I think the comparison for Willie is always going to be Marner. Well, put Marner on the third line, right? Like, leave me with Tavares, or put me up with Austin.
Right.
Why not put Mitch on the third line? But he is still with Kerfoot, who he's been with all year. I think it's another challenge, and he's been treated differently. He gets challenged differently, and Sheldon Keefe is pushing that on him. And I, if I'm Nylander, I'm using the example of Phil Kessel to motivate me here, because I think what Toronto's doing here is they're looking at the way Pittsburgh won back-to-back cups, and they're saying, we need the same thing. They had Sid, Gino, and Phil on three different lines. Phil was on that HPK line. Remember how great he was?
Yeah.
He was outstanding. I think he should have won the Conn Smythe that first year. And I wonder if that's a part of it as well. Spread the wealth, and don't look at it as a demotion. Look at it as it's your line now. You're a big boy. You can do it yourself. Go drive it, Willie. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the conversation they're having.
Right, but I think, Noodles, you make a good point. Like, it's how you sell it to him. And how he hears it too, you know, the coach can say one thing, but the player might hear another or think another. You know, that is a concern. Look, and Kampf too, like the way he's deployed the third line this year is he's fed Kampf a ton of D-zone starts. Kampf's performed well in those minutes in terms of, you know, getting the puck in the other end of the ice and playing offense despite, you know, where he's starting. But I'll be interested to see how he deploys it. You know, maybe this opens up a chance where, you know, he'll swap Kasha and Nylander a little bit in game, and so get Nylander some reps with Matthews. I mean, maybe there's a little bit more that will go into it to try to keep him happy. But, you know, This is I guess, the good news and the bad news if you're the Leafs. You have lots of offensive talent, but there are certain situations where it can be difficult to keep everyone happy and to make everyone feel important when you have, you know, this many high-end offensive players.
Chris, the incident that happened in the East Coast League regarding Jordan Subban, I believe, is that being investigated? Because I know there was allegations, and then the kid tried to come out and make an apology, said that was none of his intention. How is that proceeding? Are they going to try to find evidence of him being guilty, not guilty? Where is that situation at?
Yeah, the ECHL is conducting a disciplinary hearing into that. You know, I imagine that they'll take into account what Jacob Panetta said, you know, in the video released last night, that he's made a similar gesture in the past, and that it's meant to be a bodybuilding type gesture as opposed to, you know, something that Jordan Subban and even the referee in that game interpreted as a racial gesture. You know, I don't know how that's going to play out. You know, I would assume.
Well, if he says there's evidence of that, they just got to go back and say, tell me the game and let me see it, and then it's believable, right?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I think it's important, too. Like, you and I weren't on the ice. Like, we saw the grainy ECHL video. Mm. But, you know, I think it's important, you know, what was said in that confrontation, you know, and only a few people know that, and that'll be part of it. And you know, I think it's also significant, too, to keep in mind that, you know, I don't think anyone's suggesting Jordan Subban would make this up. I mean, he felt that it was a racial gesture. The referee also gave an additional game misconduct for what he thought was a racial gesture, so it wasn't just the, you know, Jordan Subban in this case. The referee thought that too. So, you know, the easy answer is there's a disciplinary process. I would imagine there'll be some length of suspension, or I guess if everyone comes to an agreement that this is a big misunderstanding, maybe not, but there will be some kind of ruling on his status within the league. You know, his team, the Jacksonville team, released him yesterday, but, you know, he conceivably free to be placed somewhere else if there isn't a punishment here. And so that's still an ongoing process.
Yeah, this story, it's not going to be over anytime soon. That's for sure. The ECHL suspending Jacob Panetta indefinitely, but as you mentioned, his team just cut him. So he's who knows if he'll play again in the ECHL. He's not a player I'm familiar with, but I know the Subans. I mean, everyone knows the Subans. They're one of the most famous hockey families in the world. So yeah, we'll track that, see where it goes. Appreciate it as always, Chris. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Be well and good luck. Go with your running, bud. We'll check in next week on that.
Well, maybe the week after. See you, pal.
Quick week off. Early into it, we need a break.
Yeah.
There's Chris Johnston, a TSN hockey insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
Is he saying that I got to do it every single day?
Well, that's what he said.
What he does. He's an inspiration for you. I don't think you got to get carried away. No. Like seeing people run when it's snowing and freezing, I just don't understand.
I'm right on Lake Ontario, and it's so cold and windy, and there's people like just in spandex hats and small gloves, and it's
loving
like nothing's
it.
Happening out there.
Loving it. Yeah, right just, in their element.
Just wear a balaclava, like a face mask. That's what you need.
There's I guess if you're running long enough and you're working out enough, you're going to sweat. You know, you're going to stay warm. But
I used to love, like I lived right there, but the Tip Top Lofts, I used to love running waterfront. Mm-hmm. But it just, that was the summer. I wasn't, in the winter I had a treadmill. Like I didn't go out in the snow.
Right.
Because you don't feel like you're slipping and sliding. I always felt like I just wasn't comfortable.
That would be the worst, the traction. You blow a wheel and separate your shoulder running like a hero on ice and in the snow. But never forgive yourself. Imagine you lose your golf season because you're being a hero out there. Don't do it, O. Yeah. Don't do it. Do it. You're doing the right thing indoors. Yeah.
You're walking in the, what did you say, in the parkade?
I go down to the third parking garage and I run like Rocky Balboa around the cars, like in a track.
That's awesome.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Like, we're learning a lot today. I like it.
I love it.